Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the April 6th edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures out of Memphis, Tennessee, Chuck Shelby from Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana, and Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can hear all of our agricultural programming. And if you hit the little house, that's the home icon, up in the corner, you'll find a way to get to Will Marathon. We're doing a 26.2-hour marathon fundraiser, hoping to put another $100,000 in the bank for us to use next year, in part for our ag programming. And I need you to help us out right now. So go to willag.org, hit the home button, the little house, and then either become a sustainer or make a one-time gift there at Will Marathon. And, oh, thank you so much.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
John, I want to start with you. Because about this time, you usually have most of your crop in the ground, I think. We usually call you around the first or second week of April, and then you tell us what you've done. Is that the case this year?
Well, we really hadn't started planting. But we're not planting any corn this year, so I guess that's different. Didn't plant any wheat this year. So it's all cotton and corn. Didn't plant any cotton last year and a whole lot of cotton this year.
And what about the area as a whole? What's happening there?
I'd say corn acreage probably 25-30% down, cotton acreage about 20-25 up, and bean acreage going to be up some too.
I remember from previous conversations you didn't think that producers in the area would go back to cotton because it was expensive to get into. Are these just folks that didn't get rid of the cotton picker that are upping a whole lot more acreage?
Well, it's that, and a few people have bought cotton pickers, and a few gins have now bought and are custom picking. But it's just cotton's way more profitable than it's $250 an acre profit against corn, probably 75, beans 50. So it costs you about $120 to custom pick. So some people are custom picking and others have bought the $670,000 cotton pickers.
And what do your bids along the river look like as you look towards the harvest season for corn and soybeans? Is this reflected in your basis levels?
I really haven't checked lately, to be perfectly honest. The last I saw, there was nothing special. Usually when they're this early, they don't pay up. You have to wait a little while.
This is Dan. I haven't been following the cotton fundamentals that much. Is the cotton fundamentals such that the fall off in cotton acres in California, is that the key cause in supply demand tightening in cotton to raise the price?
No. I think, last year cotton was not particularly profitable to plant, and China's been unloading their carryover, some of it. But California's acreage is going to be way up this year because they got good water. So does Arizona. Fundamentally, we've been doing tremendous export sales in cotton, which is just shockingly good. And that's certainly been behind the rally in cotton.
What are your thoughts on the prospective plantings and the grain stocks report just released, John?
Well, I think probably means that corn feed consumption is probably 75, 100 too high. Ethanol is maybe 100 too low. The stocks report on beans probably says we got 50 million more bushels of old crop beans. About 50 million bushels from last year's crop underestimated, and the crush on beans is probably 50 million too high. So I think basically they're going to add 100 million bushels to bean supply on old crop, not to mention what new crop acreage is.
And then you probably have got your corn, it sounds like, for the April WASDE flat from 1 month to the next.
Yeah, flat to maybe slightly higher, but not much. I think basically beans are a train wreck that's probably the worst I've ever seen. Argentina, Brazil are just way, way over the USDA estimates, and I'm quite fearful that we're going to have a really bad fall off in bean prices. And if that happens, you can rest assured corn acreage will go up and bean acreage down next year.
Todd, when you look at the South American numbers, keep getting bigger, and that's probably part of the problem with today's market. We had a little bit of ideas that Argentina was getting too wet, but next week when we see the South American crop, if USDA increases it some more, that just adds on top of the burden, plus those big acres that are projected coming from the U.S., you know, coming into this spring.
There are a series of numbers that have come out, I think Informa's numbers, FC Stone's numbers, a whole bunch of them, Chuck, that have been bigger for that crop out of South America. Will it grow, in particular for Brazil? And USDA was already above Brazil's own estimate, not by much, but a little bit. Still, another metric ton or two could make a big difference, I would think, wouldn't it not?
Yeah, it's unlike last year when we were shrinking that crop. It just seems to get bigger and bigger. And that coupled again with the severe increase in acres coming out of our extension plantings here coming up, that just creates a problem. And we finally, I think, caught up on the bean side with production equaling the demand side, and it took quite a few years to do that, but we're finally at that point where beans are beginning to oversupply the market.
And still we have beans holding on to price. While it's off, fairly tough, it seems to me. Chuck, do you think there's a whole lot more downside risk, and when would it come?
Well, maybe not right now. I mean, we've taken a lot out of the market, and we haven't even put anything in the ground, so we're probably holding it in here. Exports continue to be good. That's something that's a little encouraging. A lot of people thought that would just simply drift away and fall apart, but we've continued to be good. So I think there's some room here maybe to hold on for a while and get this crop in the ground and see how that goes. Maybe there'll be a little switching from beans over to corn. We won't know that till the June 30th report, but I think we switched kind of like away from beans as a shining star, and maybe we're going to switch over to corn a little bit. Cotton is a good example. Eventually the demand picks up there, and if you don't have enough production, why different crops are going to get some more attention than we've had in the past year or so.
John Bondurant, you started to talk a little bit about a fall off in soybeans that sounded as if that might be something you were looking forward to later in the year. Where are your expectations at this time?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if beans get down in the $7 range. We're going to have the world's biggest carryover percent to usage ever. If Brazil comes in and makes what Sastros is saying on beans at 114 versus the USDA 108, and U.S. carryover underestimated by, I think, 100 million. So I just think it could be really bad.
Dan Spicker, what does your technical picture look like?
Well, there's nothing too much to hang your hat on. I guess on the short term, you'd have to say that corn, soybean, or corn and wheat futures are pulling back from the rally that they posted after the planted acreage report that we had here last week. Now, today we were lower. We'll have to see what happens on Friday if the market would want to consolidate and maybe hold above those lows that were posted and see whether or not those markets can flatten out. And then if they would flatten out, then you might be able to be in position in a way to have a technical recovery rally if the right kind of fundamentals would come along. It's a shade early probably to worry about any kind of planting delays. I think that's 2 or 3 weeks away. I think you got to get kind of almost into May before the trade would actually worry about planting delays, shaving off yield potential. That would probably be a stretch at this point. Soybeans just terribly, terribly, terribly oversold. A lot of your technical indicators are basically just have flatlined down at the bottom end of the range. It's been that way for several weeks, actually, for soybeans. Usually when that happens, something comes along and maybe stirs up a short covering rally. I don't know what that event would be, but, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see some kind of short covering rally, because there is such a thing. You do run out of sellers at times, just like in a bull market, you do run out of buyers. So, but that is about the only thing I see technically, is we are, on a weekly basis, both corn and soybeans are highly oversold. So that does put them in position anyway to, flatten out anyway. And maybe even potential for some kind of recovery rally. But the key is like we've pretty well talked about, is supply, supply, supply. And there's plenty of supply, not only here in the United States, but around the world. And that is what the market is focused on. And until an event comes along to shorten up that supply, it's going to be a struggle probably to get the markets to respond to the upside. And, you know, the risk is probably to the downside without some kind of supply changing event of some kind.
Chuck Shelby, maybe you can give me kind of an overall marketing look for soybeans that would include in the plan crop insurance. I know Risk Management Commodities operates in part on the crop insurance side of the marketplace. What does this look like for soybeans moving forward?
Well, that again was interesting that the funds ran the beans up and corn at the time when we had our first crop insurance calculation. So at 1019 on soybeans, that's a good number compared to what we have been. You know, looks like with that kind of number, you want to take the best coverage you have. Most guys have already established what they're doing. But that's a positive for soybeans if you're going to grow them, and some of us are for sure, taking advantage of that and grow the crop. And I think a lot of producers have taken advantage, at least partially, on the new crop and got some new crop sales made when beans were in a $10 category. But that still leaves a lot yet to price. Using some kind of strategy, if we do grow all those acres and South American crop increases that we've talked about quite a bit here, you got more risk to the downside, I think, than sitting around waiting for some kind of weather event to move them back towards a $10 level.
And what would you do?
I think we're looking at some put options, some hedge derives. We'd like to see a little bit of recovery rally, maybe back towards a 200-day moving average on the November beans, maybe back towards a 975 or 980 level. We're going to encourage producers to take advantage of that if we can get that short covering rally going here. Best case scenario, if we could find some kind of reason, I don't know what that is at this point, but certainly $10 would trigger us to be pretty aggressive in going after them again.
John Bondurantor, I want to switch topics to corn at this point. An awful lot of soybeans around, a huge corn crop last fall. We saw the grain stocks report gave us on and off farm numbers for the storage of that crop. There's a bit more of that crop in farmers' hands, I suppose, than most would have liked. I think most expected that, but that they would have liked. Now farmers are probably listening to the programs thinking, hey, there's light at the end of the tunnel for corn. I'm just going to hang on to it. However, I want you to put this into some kind of perspective for me as it's related to the crop in the Delta in the South, because farmers in the Midwest are going to think, I'll be able to sell in July or August, maybe get my bins cleaned out, maybe have a little rally there. but there should be a crop coming out of South America and one coming early out of the United States in the Delta region at the same time. Does this create a problem for that marketing time frame?
Well, I think the basis ought to be better because the southern acreage is off. On the other hand, you've got the huge South American crop. If they actually make these 95 million ton Brazilian corn crops, then that, you know, you've got people that think next year's corn exports are going to be much, much lower because they're going to have to compete with South America. So the only thing I can say is I think if any time corn's near $4, you better sell it. And I love selling 18 corn at $4. I'm not overly excited about corn. I guess I'm so bearish beans, I'm afraid it's going to wash on the corn.
Dan Zwicker, where do we stand technically today?
Well, like I said, it's hard to read anything major in the charts. I mean, the trend, I suppose, in corn and wheat, I would say, is probably best sideways right now. Soybeans, the trend is down. I think next week will be important from a technical perspective, whether or not wheat and corn can find support here on this little pullback and maybe get another run to the upside due to the smaller acreage. Soybeans, like I said, are terribly oversold. I think cyclically, though, we are in a time window here that does increase the chances that a supporting fundamental event could come about here and maybe stir up some kind of spring planting rally. What that is, I don't know yet. Naturally, it's most likely going to probably have to occur through some kind of weather adversity here in the United States. But I think longer term, I think the longer term cycles are moving higher. And, you know, I do understand the supply demand fundamentals right at the moment don't give us a lot of hope, but they're always that way at the bottom of the market. And that same way at the top of the market, there's just, you know, we're going to run out of everything at the top of the market here where it looks like we're going to overproduce ourselves to death. And the odds of raising a big crop are, I think, less than what they were last year. Now, we could probably still raise a good crop, but if you could shave off the yield, 4 or 5 bushels here on corn and maybe 2 or 3 bushels on soybeans, the balance sheets may not look quite as bad. But it's all about weather at this point in time. And what our growing season is, whether or not we're going to be able to try to see some kind of summer rally. I've been in the opinion, still in the opinion, that the greatest amount of price strength, if we're going to see one during 17, is coming toward more the last half of the marketing year than the first half of the calendar year, let's say a calendar year. So I think the price strength is down the road. I still have my eye on sunspot activity and the tendency of low sunspot activity giving us a cooler than normal spring with chances of late frosts in it. And I think your weather forecast, at least in the short run here, is fairly cold for April. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean frost is going to go down and get John, but it does say that frost, anybody above Interstate 80, I think is vulnerable to late frost as we go through the spring planting season.
Okay, Chuck, I want to throw some numbers out to you for corn. These are from the University of Illinois. For the new crop, and I'm wondering about ending stocks. So the U of I, and this number won't be out until May, for the first time for USDA at a look at what the new crop corn might be. But U of I is projecting that may be around 2 billion bushels for carryover at 2.068 on a 168.7 yield and using the 90 million acres, which will be used by USDA until they get till June. That's the number that came from the prospective plantings report. However, for this year, as you know, the average farm price from USDA is $3.40. And the ag economist at the U of I only put 20 extra cents on that when they take us from 2.32 billion bushels to 2.068 billion bushels for the carryout. So they end up with a 360 corn crop. Does that number seem like it works for you? If not, why? And if so, what do you do about it?
Well, I think it works for us when you look at world supplies, and that's what, you know, we are shrinking the carryout, and I think that's why they raised the price. Stocks-to-use ratio tightened up a bit. Also, it's a trend in the right direction. I would agree with Dan that, you know, yield prospects are probably not going to be as fantastic as they were last year. The other thing that might have an impact there, too, is last year we had very little prevent plant, so we may see a larger prevent plant number than we had in last year's outlook. So the thing about that is that's a long-term average, and I think as a producer, you're being offered some premium here. The market usually puts some in there. So if Deese corn is $3.90 to $4 range, that's well above a $3.60 average. So we should, as producers, be willing to try to take advantage of that. The unknowns yet to come, I guess the way we're handling that would be if it takes a call option to, you know, make you feel more comfortable about aggressively selling your corn, then that's the strategy we're taking. So those numbers seem pretty reasonable, Todd, when we're starting out the year. One number they have in there, too, though, they've dropped the exports off, you know, pretty significantly. That would be a number that could change, depends on, you know, what the value of the dollar and what the currencies are in other parts of the world. So we would be pretty reasonable there.
They drop at 325 million bushels. That's not a small drop. That's a pretty good size drop, down to 1.9 billion from the 2.225 billion that USDA currently has. So I suppose there's some wiggle room there. But the U of I has their set of numbers, and everybody else will be looking forward as well to those numbers. What are you using, John Bondurant, at this point when you're thinking about the new crop corn sales?
I don't know. I have bearish friends that think it's going to be 1.5 billion. I think that's too far down, so I guess I'd go somewhere around a billion eight, something like that. But we haven't made the Safrina corn crop in Brazil. That's the big deal. If they really do make 95 million tons or more, as a lot of forecasts are now, corn exports are in trouble. But it remains to be seen what they really make.
So you're doing the calculation. Everybody's doing the calculation on that export number, maybe a bit higher potentially. If we take another couple hundred bushels and drop it into the export number, it really is 2 and we're at a 1.8, what's that do, Dan Zwicker, to the possibilities?
Well, when you look at raw supply-demand fundamentals, corn has the most chance, anyway, of the three commodities that we grow up here in the Midwest of having some form of rally or some unexpected price strength, simply because we're planting less acres. If we get a less than desirable yield, and with the current demand that we have, supply-demand table can tighten up to the point that you could see the corn market rally. Beans, it's just going to take a lot more to get the beans to rally because of the larger acres. And then when you combine that with the larger South American crop that we're harvesting, it's just going to take more ammunition to probably stir up a rally in soybeans. And that's why most of the trade is very bearish, even at these current levels. I think there's you don't want to get too bearish too quick. I mean, we don't have the crop planted yet, but the odds say that we will get it planted. But 950, we have shaved off quite a bit of the beans, and technically we're oversold, so it wouldn't surprise me to see a bounce in here, but probably given the attitude in the trade, rallies will be sold, I think, probably both corn and soybeans, at least in the short run, until it's proven that a short position is not going to work. And that usually takes a while. But corn has the brightest potential if you can get the fundamentals to fall its way. Beans has the least amount of potential because if we get into corn planting delays, that will actually increase ideas that bean acres are going higher. And it's still pretty much all spring planting. If we have a favorable spring planting, if things would dry out in the upper Midwest and things would begin to plant, then we may end up planting more acres than what that March 31st report would indicate. We have planting delays that would take corn planting way into May, then we'll maybe end up with less acres planted than what USDA's March number indicated. So it's pretty much a spring planting season at this point, and it's a shade early to worry about delays in mid-April. Mid-May, that is when, at least historically, when I look back at chart patterns, it's kind of the May 15th, May 20th time frame is when the trade kind of looks around and sees whether or not the crop was timely planted or if some kind of weather issue is beginning to brew in the main growing area, and that kind of decides whether or not the market wants to then rally into June, or if it would just go ahead and just sink further right on into the first week of June or so. And then we'll wait around for pollination weather, summer weather, to try to get us some kind of bounce. But the market is real heavy. There's just no way that you can talk around it when you look at the supply-demand tables. It's just, the high prices, the high bean prices that we saw this year, well, actually last year in the first few months of this year, just, because of the smaller crop in South America has just, it gave them the incentive to plant as many corn and bean acres that they could because of their short crop last year.
Chuck, I think time for a final word from you to begin with, please.
We've got to take advantage of the opportunities that can come. We saw maybe a good one slip away in the soybean market. As producers, we got to look at corn at $4 is still an opportunity, and we got to, as producers, take advantage of that one.
Dan Zwicker?
I suppose I got to be in the camp that you got to use rallies to defend your position, but I'm not totally sold on locking in that number. I still want to have potential to take advantage of summer weather adversities if they would come about or some other event. So I do want that flexibility to capture higher prices. But if on rallies in here, depending upon your individual financial situation, you probably need to maybe defend some of these prices on price strength.
And John Bondurant, your final thoughts for the day.
Well, obviously, I'm not very optimistic, and I am a farmer, but nonetheless, I think it's going to be a tough time, and I think you need to be pretty heavily hedged because we've never seen a bean tear over the worldwide this big ever, and that worries me. So I would be aggressively hedged, and I like hedging 18 corn an awful lot at the $4 level. And even if you can get 18 beans up close to $10, I'd certainly like to do that.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. There you can participate in our Will Marathon, a one-day fundraising event looking to put $100,000 in the bank on the 12th day of April. You can start a bit early if you'd like right now at WILLAG.org and just hit donate. Our panelists this week for Commodity Week have included John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures of Memphis, Tennessee, Chuck Shelby from Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, and Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting in Waco, Texas. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.